the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
He came to Auburn as a walk-on pitcher from Marion Military Academy. Scott Sullivan had never been to the Plains and didn't know who Hal Baird was. The intent was Sullivan would become the batting practice pitcher, no more. Sullivan's break came when Baird saw him throw a ball from the outfield sidearm. This began Sullivan's career as a top-notch pitcher at Auburn, with a 10-year career in Major League Baseball. Next month, Sullivan and former Auburn basketball player and coach Larry Chapman will be inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Part one of the remarkable story of Scott Sullivan is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health.
Welcome to the Talking Tigers podcast. I always enjoy when I get to talk with a friend of mine about a brilliant Auburn career, a Major League Baseball career, and now what he's doing in the community. He is about to be inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. He will go in with another former Auburn Tiger, a former Tiger player, and assistant basketball coach, Larry Chapman. And we're talking about Scott Sullivan. War Eagle, my friend.
Oh, War Eagle, Andy, and thank you. It's always great to have a friend, and I appreciate your friendship.
What did it mean to you when you found out that you were going into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame?
You know, I don't know how to verbalize it.
Yeah.
Get a sense of tingling now, you know, just thinking about it, Andy, and the fact that I got a phone call from Scott Myers, and he's the head of the Alabama Hall of Fame, and truly a gentleman, does a wonderful, wonderful job, first-class job. And, you know, I have been there before multiple times and looking at the plaques and reading the bios of the people there. And, man, it's just, it is remarkable the quality of athletes that the state of Alabama per capita have produced. And some of the names there, and to even think there's a Sullivan, a Scott Sullivan, that would be among those is just extremely humbling, and really haven't been able to grasp it truly.
Well, just look at it from a baseball perspective in the state of Alabama, and not just college baseball like yourself, but I mean guys that didn't even play college ball. I mean, Hank Aaron's of the world, and
yeah.
Willie Mays, and Ozzie Smith. And
sure.
And now Scott Sullivan.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, Ozzie Smith, and I knew all those guys, of course, not personally,
right.
but obviously as a baseball fan, and I wouldn't say a historian being from West Alabama. We only got a couple of channels, you know, so I didn't know a lot about the old-timers until I really got into the game and really got into pro ball and really respect the past and able to see the Johnny Benches and those guys come into the clubhouse and the Tony Perez and the other Reds greats. And of course, Ken Griffey Sr. was on the staff for several years, and Ray Knight and Tom Hume and several of them, but also Ken Griffey Jr. He was a coach at that time, and his son Jr. was our center fielder for 4 years. And well, I was in Cincinnati, but just reading the history about those men and their athletic accomplishments, and then looking at who is in the Alabama Hall of Fame and Ozzie Smith. I'll tell you something about Ozzie. The last at bat Ozzie Smith ever had in the regular season, I hit him.
You hit him?
I hit him.
On purpose?
No. It was Ozzie Smith Day. He was retiring.
So you hit Ozzie Smith on Ozzie Smith Day
with a slider. Yep. And they took him out of the game.
Because of that?
He piled up in the batter's box, and they got a pinch runner for him. And it was Ozzie Smith Day. You know, I had watched all of the accolades and things that were being announced at what he had done in his career, and just remarkable. I mean, yeah. You know, he's in the big Hall of Fame, of course, and just seeing him compete well up into his mid-40s and doing what he did and having the respect he had. And St. Louis, you being in that area,
right.
You know how professional they are with their baseball team and how first class they do things. And you had Bob Gibson and several of them up there. And he got a cardinal red Corvette. His wife got a grand piano, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it was a packed. You know, it was over 60,000 people there. And, you know, and I was drinking my little coffee and watching this in the dugout, you know. And so later on in the game, it was the last inning. I think they were up by a couple. And this was his last at bat. And I was in, got a first couple of quick outs. And then while they were passing the ball around the infield, the crowd just started roaring. And I was like, man, what is going on? And then they said, now batting, Ozzie.
Number one, Ozzie Smith.
And it just exploded. Yeah. And he was up there tipping his hat and all this kind of stuff. And so while all this was going on, our catcher was a guy named Eddie Tobinson. And he came out on the mound. And Andy, we were just talking. And he said, Scott, what do you think about Ozzie? And I said, man, Ozzie's awesome. He said, you know, he's my neighbor. Well, he's not really my neighbor, but we live in the same area in Florida. And I said, is that right? And he says, what do you want to do here? And I said, well, Ozzie's like 103. Well, he was only, you know, in his 40s at that time. But I said, he's not going to hurt me with anything. Let me throw a fastball right down the middle. And let's just keep pumping fastballs down the middle and just see how far he can hit it. It's Ozzie Smith, and it's Ozzie Smith day. Then after about 11 or 12 fastballs, you know, I got to thinking about Ozzie. You know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and Ozzie's had a 20-year-plus career, and Ozzie Smith just got a Corvette. I'm driving a 1999 Ford, you know, little truck with about 200,000 miles. I said, you know what? Ozzie's had his time. It's my time. So I went from, I'm going to help Ozzie.
Scott Sullivan,
Oh, yeah. I got selfish. And I snapped off a slider, and it smoked him right in the top of the foot, that ankle, that bare ankle spot.
No.
He dropped to the ground in the crowd.
Oh, my goodness.
They had a couple comments.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
But he's in the Hall of Fame, of course, and those other names. I mean, Satchel Paige, for goodness sake. I mean, he was in his 70s still throwing, I think, or something.
Right.
And just some really, really special people. And George Foster was another Red. Clay Carroll was another Red from the Clanton area that's in the Hall of Fame. So there's a lot of great people there.
And now Scott Sullivan.
A couple of weeks, yes. Thank you.
You're going in with Larry Chapman, former Auburn coach, AUM's all-time winningest coach. You've got a connection with the Chapman family, don't
you? Yes, you know, they're wonderful people, and I'm missing out because I don't have a direct relationship with Coach Chapman, but I know his son and his sons and several of his family members. And my daughter, my middle child, Lauren, was actually the roommate in the first year of college with his granddaughter, and just a sweet, sweet family. And so that's going to be a special time for all of us.
Where was home for Scott Sullivan?
I had a community.
Okay.
You know, for Pickens County was my home. I grew up in Pickens County and was really raised in outside of Carrollton, Alabama suburbs, I guess, in a little community, Marvin Chapel, Speeds Mill community, and grew up there just on a small farm. We had a couple of milk cows, had a lot of bottle calves, other animals and critters and things of that nature, and we worked. I mean, we grew up working, and it was summertime, it was in the garden, and, you know, wintertime, we were feeding cows and just doing country folk stuff. It was a great environment, looking back on, you know, to be raised in. It taught you a lot of discipline. You know, it got to see a lot of part of the country in a rural environment with some really good people in the church, the community, that invested in young boys at the time to help them grow up into manhood. And it was a good time, Andy.
What dreams did Scott Sullivan have?
You know, it was interesting about that. You know, I only got a couple channels, and Atlanta Braves was the team that we could see with TBS. And, you know, Dale Murphy was one of my guys, right? But, you know, I don't think Dale Murphy was using dry cow patties at second base like I was out in the pasture.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had the old tire hanging from the tree, you know, to throw the baseball in and all that kind of stuff. Just if we didn't have enough kids to complete the Little League teams, you know. So I played a couple years of Little League and then picked it back up in high school or junior high, but, you know, loved to compete. It didn't matter what it was, Andy. You know, a true competitor, the worst thing he can do is fail to compete, right? So we were competing in everything. It was an enjoyable childhood.
You played both football and baseball, correct?
Yes. Small school, we played about everything.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a lot of kids, a lot of numbers. So I played football and baseball and basketball. Football, I had a couple of scholarships, you know, in football, but didn't have any in baseball. But in baseball was my true love. I really enjoyed it. And Marion Military Institute said, if you come play football for us, we'll let you play baseball. Mm. So I went to Marion for a year. A guy in my church, an elder in our church, thought it would be, I sought wise counsel, and he said that it would be great on your resume. And it was. It was a good experience there. It was a challenging experience at times, of course. Got hurt in football, and that made it a little lonely, mm. you know, not being able to compete then. And baseball, was able to pitch very little there, but I played center field and first base mostly at Marion, and then walked on at Auburn.
You walked on at Auburn, and you didn't even know who the head baseball coach was. You didn't even know what Hal Baird looked like.
No. I do now. We all do, don't yeah. we? Yeah, what a gentleman. No, I did not. My dad graduated from Auburn, but I had never been on campus, Andy.
Ever?
Ever. You know, so, you know, I had the opportunity to listen to Jim Fife and Charlie Trotman on the radio, and now I listen to you and that lineage. But, you know, on the Dove Fields on Saturday as a kid, I remember shooting birds and having the opportunity to mingle with some other men of the community, and they would always have the radio on, you know, and most of them were listening to that other team, but we had a couple of Auburn radios and maybe a Mississippi State True. Being so close to the line over there, all their ball games on. And so I just fell in love with Auburn, and I had my little banner in my room of the Auburn Tigers, and I was all about Auburn, but just never had been immersed in the atmosphere like the coming years afforded being under the tutelage of Coach Baird. But I walked on, was so excited about being a student here. I was just a student, not a student athlete mm-hmm. at that time, and went up to the field and asked a couple guys that were out there hitting fungos. And I said, where's the head coach? And they pointed to, which was Coach Baird in a blue hat over there. And I said, that's him. And they said, yeah. And then they turned around. I said, well, what's his name? I was really prepared, wasn't I?
Sure.
I mean, I was ready to go.
You're talking about green.
My goodness. I was extremely green. And I walked up to him and introduced myself. And I was looking for any positive feedback. And I don't know if he had something in his eye or what, Andy, but he did pause, it looked like, and looked me over a little bit. And I was like, man, he may have heard about me. But no. He had not, you know, and I told him I was a pitcher and went out there and walked on and just threw it as hard as I could
yeah.
and was able to make the team. And what was funny about this, you know, I was a pretty big kid, not of what is out there in the SEC now, but at the time, you know, I was 6'3", 210, and he saw my physique. He saw the arm angle I threw from. He saw the velocity, which was about mid-80s. And he came to the conclusion that I would give the hitters a lot of confidence in batting practice and inner squad.
So you're a BP guy.
So I was a BP guy, you know, in his mind.
Right.
You know, he saw the size. I looked durable. He said, well, you know what? He throws nice and slow and straight, and he could give my hitters a lot of confidence. But you know what? I didn't care. He confessed to me that later about that, but it progressed where I just wanted a hat and I wanted an opportunity to compete for Auburn.
War Eagle, it's a great day for Auburn Tigers to get vaccinated. Many children and adults that delayed vaccinations during the pandemic are still behind schedule. It's crucial that we take steps to get everyone back on track with their routine immunizations. Children and teens can still catch up on their vaccinations even if they start late. Make sure you and your family are all up to date on all recommended vaccines, including COVID-19 and flu. Let's all do our part to get back on track. Don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
Tell me about the day where things for you changed and for Coach Baird changed for you? Because it's a, to me, it's a remarkable story, because all of a sudden you go from a BP guy to, well, there's some interest. So how did all of that come up? What was, tell me the story of the practice where Coach Baird saw promise out of Scott Sullivan.
You know, since I thought I was still an athlete instead of a pitcher only, I had the propensity to try to sneak up during batting practice and get some ground balls and that kind of thing. So I was in the left field deep short area, and Coach Baird hollered at me. So I start jogging back to my rightful position, is getting out of the way of the real athletes, right, so they can get their work in. And he said, Scott, be careful, there's a ball behind you. Don't step on it. So I reached down and grabbed the baseball and threw it to really the ball board behind second base, behind the screen, where all the outfielders and all the shaggers threw the baseballs in. And I dropped down, Andy. I was probably on a clock about 3 o'clock. You know, it was right straight sidearm.
Yeah.
And I threw it in. And I crow hopped and let her fly. And all of a sudden he starts calling for our catcher, Mitch Duke at the time, and said, Mitch, grab your gear and come down. And he said, let me tell you something, Scott. I want you to throw in that arm angle and stay down. And he worked with me for a couple of days, and Andy, it just fit. I went from, you know, mid-80s to high-80s to low-90s to, you know, even in the mid-90s at times on a good outing.
With some life to it, right?
With some life and a unique arm angle. And it was really a really exciting time. And not only that, you know, coming from rural West Alabama, we didn't have a lot of financial substance. And he put me on scholarship, which was really life-changing.
So almost by not almost by accident,
sure,
you're just throwing a ball back in.
Yeah.
And that is the start of Scott Sullivan at Auburn, Scott Sullivan as a major league pitcher in a practice.
Well, Coach Baird and Steve Renfro and Billy Best, you know, those men giving me a chance to wear an Auburn uniform. And Andy, I was going to do everything I could to find a way to compete for Auburn. And that day was a special day. And the fact that, you know, it was different. Now, I was still green mentally, physically, you know, as far as the pitching right. In that slot. But when you're throwing from that slot and you're throwing with movement and you're throwing with velocity, you can get away with mistakes that possibly you can't at a different arm angle or more traditional arm angle. So, you know, I was able to play a couple years, able to get a degree from Auburn, which I'm extremely proud of, mm-hmm. which is extremely rare in pro baseball, is to have a college degree. So I was always proud of that and the fact that I was an Auburn University graduate. And I made that mentioned, you know, kind of a little chest thump every now and then, because that was something different. When I was in Cincinnati, there's only a couple of them that had a degree.
So you already had your degree by the time you started pro ball?
Yes, sir. I got drafted my junior year by the Brewers, and Coach Baird, I did not have a great year because of a football injury that they had to take care of in my elbow, so I had a little scope done, and then came back my senior year and was drafted by the Reds in the second round, and got drafted in 93, made it to the big leagues in 95, so it was a pretty fast turnaround.
Let me take you back to the day that Coach Baird called you in and said, I'm going to put you on scholarship. What was that phone call home? What was that like?
It was a powerful day.
Yeah.
It was a special day. You know, I had hardworking parents, Andy. You know, I never was short on love. That was not lacking. The financial resources at times were lacking.
Sure.
But to have, it was a couple things. One, that I knew I needed some financial assistance. So I had an ROTC scholarship that would put me 2 years active duty and 8 years reserve, but it would pay for my education. And that's why that conversation with Coach Baird was also so important. Not that, it gave me my desires of my heart more to be able to compete for Auburn and play baseball. Or I was about to go into the military, which would have been fine and would have been an honor to do. But at that time in college, I wanted to play baseball, and that allowed me to do that. So, you know, I thought it would be a tank of gas a month or maybe a box of Guthrie's or something of that nature, you know, because Guthrie's was real big back
sure.
then. I'll tell you, put me on 80%.
My goodness.
Which was unheard of. I mean, there's only 11.7 scholarships on the whole team out of 35, a carrying capacity of 35. For me to spend 3 years at Auburn and basically only pay for my food, when I say life-changing, it was.
All right, after the surgery following your junior year or during your junior year, now you come back for that senior year. What was that senior year like for you? You've already been drafted once by the Brewers. No question that's an opportunity for you moving forward. So what was that final year at Auburn like for Scott Sullivan?
That was a fun year. One, because I had the opportunity to truly lead as a senior. Two is Coach Baird and his staff had done a wonderful job of recruiting. You know, so you had Jay Wagner, you had Chris Christopher, you had Ryan Halla, you had a lot of these young people, Mark Bellhorn. So you had the foundation that really started Coach Baird's finish, you know, as the head coach at Auburn in those World Series appearances. And that was the start of that year. So to see those young guys really contribute and see how much they loved Auburn, it was awesome to be a part of to start that run in the 90s.
Was leadership, being a leader, was that important to you?
Yes, sir. You know, it's tough, Andy, to truly be a leader when you're not an everyday player.
Mm-hmm.
But I sure tried. You know, I tried to encourage. I tried to really outwork everybody. And, you know, even in pro ball, it gave me a confidence where I may have been a little short mentally or a little short with stuff, but I could stand on that mound, and 60 feet 6 inches away was, you know, my competitor. And it gave me the confidence that, no, there's one thing that I can be sure of. He hadn't outworked me. And it gave me the opportunity, and then it felt like that edge to be able to be successful.
Did you ever make a start at Auburn?
I did. I did make a start a couple of times. You know, and I lacked being a sidearm right-handed pitcher. I don't know where all the left-handers would come from. They just brought them out of the stands. I mean, the hot dog salesman, everybody was left-handed all of a sudden, and they wanted to hit against me.
Right.
So at that time, I had not developed, you know, an off-speed pitch that really could allow me to be successful for 5 or 6 innings at a time. Now I developed that in pro ball. You know, I had a little more time. I had a little more seasoning. I had a little more reps in my arm slot. I started throughout pro ball until I got to all-star break with the Chattanooga Lookouts, and then they moved me to the pen.
Tim Hudson once said, speaking of another person that's in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, when he was in Major League Baseball, of course, he was a starter for his whole career, and his time in the bullpen, there were, out of 10 times, there were 3 times where he knew coming out of the pen, his opponent, didn't matter who it was, had no chance.
Right.
There were 3 times coming out of the bullpen, he's a little bit worried, and the rest of the time was just a battle.
Sure.
Was it the same way for you? And if so, what was the ratio for Scott Sullivan coming out of the pen as often as you did as a major leaguer?
Well, as great as Tim Hudson is, if he struggled, you know, Andy, as a Sullivan, I really struggled. You know, maybe 1 out of 10 times I had good stuff, you know. But it was a battle every single time. But that, a lot of that battle was more mental. You know, because in the bullpen, you really got to read the game. When you first get that phone call and they say, okay, Scott, you got Mark McGwire, or you got Sammy Sosa, you got Jeff Bagwell, whatever it may be, man, you've really got to pace yourself mentally, because when you spike up and maybe there's a double play ball or the guy gets out of the inning or they pitch hit or whatever it may be that changes the dynamics and you don't go in. You know, maybe the starting pitcher gives up a 3-run homer and you have to get up the following inning or the next inning. Mentally, to be able to pace yourself, to be on point, to compete was the most challenging. You know, the stuff would get there hopefully eventually, mm-hmm. but mentally, that was the biggest challenge for me.
Take us through the progression through minor league baseball for you.
Billings, Montana. I loved that. Actually, John Hebel was a teammate of mine and was a roommate of mine in Billings, Montana. He also got drafted by the Reds, so that was a special season. We met a guy with a big cowboy hat, because it's amazing. They just say, okay, you go into Billings, and you're on your own. You know, there's no...
You're pro ball.
Yeah, there's no secretary that says, you know, Mr. Andy, where would you like to stay? Or can we help you with a room? You know, whatever it may be. Right. You know, it's like, okay, you get to the park at this time. I don't know where you are, but you need to be at the park at this time, right. Whatever it may be. So we met a guy at a Buffalo barbecue that had a big cowboy hat on. And we was like, that's our boy right there. And so we went up there and introduced ourselves, and we stayed in his basement. You know, so went to Billings, Montana. We were having spring training at that time in Plant City, Florida. So that was good for a country boy like me. It was the strawberry capital of the world, you know, so I could eat a lot of strawberries and strawberry shortcake and that kind of thing. And they also had a lot of places to fish. Wow. So that was good.
Yeah.
Then went to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Indianapolis, Indiana was AAA. And that's where I kind of bounced a little bit from the AAA level back from the Reds. Because in Reds in 95, they had a very mature team. So I was up there and down a couple of times. They made the playoffs. I think they got beat by the Braves that year, beat the Dodgers in the opening round and got beat the Braves. And I think the Braves went on that year to maybe win the World Series in 95. I'm not sure.
Stay tuned for part two of this podcast next week. For Scott Sullivan and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health, I'm Andy Burgeon. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.